Welcome to The Buyer's Desk, an infra podcast where we bring you retail conversations worth checking out. I'm Angela Bozo.
And I'm Pat Sheridan. Tune in as we explore the trends, insights, and stories driving the natural foods industry.
Pull up a seat and let's get started.
My name is Tim, and I'm the founder of Ice Cream for Bears. So the first question we always get is, why is it called Ice Cream for Bears? The answer is simple. Bears love honey, and so do we. We sweeten our ice cream exclusively with raw, unfiltered honey instead of refined sugar. But the bear represents something bigger. It's our belief that the future of food lies in the past. We believe that the best foods are often the simplest, made from ingredients humans have enjoyed for thousands of years. That's why each of our ice creams is made with just grass-fed dairy, raw unfiltered honey, and egg yolks. At Ice Cream for Bears, we're on a mission to make food wild again, and we do that by removing unnecessary processed ingredients from ice cream while supporting farming practices that are better for people, better for animals, and better for the planet. Through this, we aim to create an indulgent ice cream experience that never asks consumers to compromise on ingredient, taste, or quality. We're proud to partner with retailers who value transparency, thoughtful sourcing, and offering shoppers better choices. If you'd like to learn more about our story, our products, or opportunities to work together, visit our website or follow us on social media at Ice Cream for Bears.
This week on The Buyer's Desk, we are going back to an interview with Vicky Bacon, owner of Highland Nutrition Center, an INFRA member in Illinois. We just wrapped up the 2026 INFRA Annual Conference earlier this month. One amazing part of this conference is the BRICS Awards, where we recognize vendors, industry partners, and our very own INFRA retailers for doing amazing things in their communities and within the industry. Highland Nutrition Center was awarded a BRICS Award this year in the Small and Mighty category. When we spoke to Vicky last year, we heard about how, in her community of less than 10,000 people, she's prioritizing community involvement and cementing her store as an important fixture in the community. We thought it was a great time to reshare this story and celebrate them as a 2026 BRICS Award winner. We hope you enjoy hearing more about building community trust with Highland Nutrition Center.
That's what you have to do, is listen. You have to listen to your customers. You have to listen to your staff. You have to keep your ears open and be patient and be willing.
Welcome to Common Brits, an INFRA podcast.
And I'm your host, Haley Craig.
Independent natural food retailers are as diverse and unique as the communities they serve. From urban to rural, East Coast to West Coast, small to large, there's one thing that these stores have in common, a deep commitment to providing healthy foods to their communities. In celebration of INFRA's 20th anniversary, we're handing over the mic to 20 INFRA members to share their challenges and triumphs in navigating the world of natural food retail. Are our common roots really so common? Let's find out.
Today, we are joined by Vicky Bacon from Highland Nutrition Center, and this is their story.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Vicky. Do you mind starting off by just introducing yourself and telling us all a little bit about your store?
Sure. My name is Vicky Bacon. I own Highland Nutrition in Highland, Illinois. We're a very small store, one of the smallest INFRA members, and we're very proud to be a member of INFRA. The store's been here since 1978. The building was actually built to be a health food store and has been one ever since. I am the third owner. I started working here in the mid to late 90s. We didn't keep very good records then. And then I purchased it from the second owner in 2001. So we've been here for a while serving this community. Highland is a very small town, less than 10,000 people. Doesn't fit the normal demographics for a health food store. There's no university. It's not a high income town. It's not a high education town. And yet this store has been here and grown for decades. So it's really awesome to be a part of it.
Yeah, that I think is one of the things that really sticks out about Highland is the location and how successful you guys are. And so I'm just also curious about that. What kind of demographic does your store serve? What, you know, do your customers look like? A lot of families, younger people, and really how have you used that to be successful in the community that you're in?
In the past, I would say our clientele leaned heavily towards middle-aged and older people because the store had been here so long, they felt like it was part of their lives. And for a while, we were a little bit concerned about that. When we joined Infra, we started doing a lot more social media and taking that a lot more seriously. And that, I believe, has helped. In addition, some of the children of the people that have shopped here through the years are growing up, and now they're bringing their own children. And that's really exciting, too, because I think it makes it, I think if you teach children to eat well and to appreciate what a business like this has to offer, they are more willing to walk back in the door. So we are starting to see more young families, and that makes me very happy.
Yeah, I love that. And in Highland, do you have a lot of corporate competition or big box stores, or are there other health food stores there? What does that landscape kind of look like?
Our biggest competition would be Walmart. They have pursued organic vegetables, produce pretty heavily. They've shopped us. We've seen them shopping us before, you know, before Spins was widely available. There are no other health food stores. The nearest health food store is probably 25 minutes away in one direction and 40 minutes in another. So we have a good handle on our local business. We've done pretty well with attracting people from other areas by giving good customer service. But there are no, like the nearest Whole Foods is St. Louis, Missouri, which is about 30 miles from here, 35 miles from here.
Oh, wow.
And initially, I mean, you know, people, this is partially a community. So when I first moved out here, I drove to St. Louis to work. So people didn't think anything about driving to Whole Foods for food. And probably a month doesn't go by that somebody doesn't say, well, I don't need to go to Whole Foods anymore. I didn't know you had all this. So that's always been kind of an ongoing mission for us, is to get people to understand that, yes, we carry food. We're not just a pill store. And I think historically we used to be very supplement heavy. And we still derive a great deal of our income from supplements. But we've expanded our food selection dramatically in the last 20 years.
Wow. Yeah. So you kind of have created your own perfect little community that this store can serve. The people that aren't quite going to drive to Whole Foods or were, and now they're like, I don't have to anymore, like you said. So I think that's really special. You kind of found your niche community for yourself, which is awesome. Okay, great. And I just would love to talk about the idea of legacy for a second, because as you said, you've been a part of your community for now over 40 years. And you also were one of the first health food stores in the lower Midwest. So I just wanted to ask about what that kind of legacy means to you and how you see that legacy influencing your work, if you do at all, or what it means to kind of carry that torch a little bit.
I take it very seriously. I was fortunate enough to start working here when the original owners were still alive, and although they were no longer involved in the business, they still shopped here and wanted to tell me everything about their experiences and how they went through it. I think about them frequently because I think they were just such pioneers to open a health food store in a little bitty town out in the country. I just think that's amazing. And I think we have an obligation and a duty to keep it healthy and to help it grow and to help it grow with the community. One of the things that we've been working on more lately is community involvement. One of our problems here has always been we have a very small town, which means we have a very small labor pool to draw out of. So we're always short-staffed, we're always short on space, we're always short on everything. So it's hard to take time to participate in the community on any kind of meaningful level. But we feel like we're kind of to the point now where we can afford to do it. We're involved with the chamber now. We're going to be involved with some city celebrations now, and try to get ourselves out there a little bit more, which hopefully will bring even more people in. So our future is growth, the way we see it.
Mm. Yeah, that's lovely. And I think the community-centered mission is really what comes through about Highland Nutrition Center as well. And as you said, you know, I can only imagine if you're opening a small health food store in a small town, that is your biggest reason, right? Because it's not immediately going to be a moneymaker. I think that really comes through and is, yeah, very inspiring. Lovely. And so just to, of course, talk about Infra a little bit, Highland Nutrition Center joined Infra in 2020. So do you just want to talk about what initially motivated you to want to become a member and also how you came across knowing about Infra?
You know, I could swear I ran into Mylise Tucker someplace one time and she told me about Infra. And I can't remember if it was at a Maho show or I can't remember where it was. And it's been many years ago. But Infra has, I got to be honest with you, when we first joined, it was about the deals. That's all we wanted was the deals, the discounts. We thought that was everything. We thought that that was going to change our store. And yes, it has. The ability to bring people product at a more reasonable price has changed things for us. People still have the perception that health food stores are extremely expensive to shop at. But having the opportunity to bring product in, I mean, when I first started working here, I could call Imagine Foods and say, hey, I mean, I could call them directly and say, hey, if I buy 40 cases of rice dream, will you give me a discount? And they'd say, sure. We got to the point, no one would give us discounts. No one would work with us and help us grow. But Infra has really helped us grow. And it's not just about the discounts, which is what we were totally focused on. We have been blown away by the education. We are doing what we do on a professional level that I never would have considered possible. We have learned so much about the business aspect of the business, about marketing, about merchandising. It has been a game changer for us, and people really notice. Our customers walk in the door, and they're wowed by what we're doing. They're so impressed by what we're doing. And they're like, well, don't ever change who you are. And it's like, no, we're not going to do that. We're just going to get better at who we are.
Yeah. And having, I mean, well, and I love that you kind of led with saying, you know, a little coyly, like, well, we joined for the deals, like, sorry to say, but that's not a bad thing, right? Like, that is the point, right? We're trying to keep these independent stores alive by giving them the opportunity to make more sales and save money. And like, you need money to function, right? So I think having that be the leader of why people come to Infra is totally great and fine. But what you're able to find once you get past that and, you know, the community, the education, like that's the really the golden nuggets, right? And I think, well, it certainly has paid off because you've won the Retail Excellence Award through our Bricks Awards at Infra, which is great. Very, very deserving. And do you think, have you seen, I mean, certainly you've seen a shift in your sales at your store and your financials, but with customers as well, have you heard those testimonials, those tidbits of people noticing those changes, changing prices in your stores? Have customers expressed that they've, you know, sensed those changes?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, we had a customer comment to us not very long ago that they'd been at one of our competitors that's about 25 minutes away, and because they needed something that we were out of, or I don't remember what it was, a situation where they had to go out of town. And she said, well, they had it, but you had to pay for it. So that comment made us feel that she was suggesting that we were better priced. So yes, they do notice. Something else that we've done is we've really tried to counsel our staff to talk to our customers. That's always been important to us. We've always been about education at this store. Anytime we can get a vendor to come in and provide education for staff, we do it. We do not participate in art to the degree that we would like to, but it is always on our radar. It's always on our long-term plan, and we use it when we can. So we educate our staff to talk to our customers about the technical aspects of like herbs and vitamins and all that. But we also try to teach them to talk to them about food, especially when somebody comes in the store the first time. I always try to highlight things like Cadia pasta, Italian bronze cut certified organic pasta for $1.99. And their eyes get big. They can't believe that they can shop here and feed their family with that quality of food for that low of a price. And people remember that, especially these days. I think people are really concerned right now about food costs.
Well, and that's that difference right there, right? If someone goes to Whole Foods, no one's stopping them. No one's, you know, showing them around the store. No one's giving them that touch point and that human connection. So that right there, that is what pulls someone to come back to a store like Highland Nutrition Center, right? They always know they can go to Whole Foods, get, you know, the prices they can get, but that human connection and that education piece is huge. And I also wanted to ask about, because I feel like especially now we're living in this climate where people are really, you know, wanting to put their money into small businesses and businesses and people that they can, you know, agree with, that align with their values. And being in the small community that you are in, have you felt that change? Or has being in a small community, are people already very community oriented, already wanting to support small because they're a part of that community? Have you noticed any shifts in that kind of customer base? Or has it been pretty like stable?
It's been fairly stable, I would say. It's a pretty conservative town. It's also a very frugal town. There's money to spend here. But I remember when I first started working here, I used to have this customer, little old lady, and she wore little Oxford shoes and a very faded zip-up house dress. And then, you know, she'd complain about the price or make sure I get my discount. But then she'd go out and she'd get in a brand new Cadillac that they bought a brand new one every year. So I think part of it is just changing of the guard in a certain respect. It's a very conservative town, old values, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, great. And then just to chat about products and the things that you carry in your store for a little bit. Another part of your mission, other than, you know, community and education connection, is of course providing the healthy food for your customers and also caring for the planet and the farmers who grow it. So can you just share a little bit about the philosophy that you have that shapes the products that you choose to carry and how that therefore kind of shapes the way that you run your business?
Sure. Well, one of the most important things to us is our produce. We carry 100% organic produce. There's no conventional in the store. I've always found that very disturbing, not to pick on Whole Foods, but when they first opened in St. Louis, I had customers coming back to the store saying, oh my gosh, I'm buying organic apples for 99 cents a pound. How come you can't do that? I'm going to shop over there. So after hearing that a few times, I thought, oh my gosh, I've got to check this out. And they were conventional apples. So they were selling conventional alongside organic. We'll never do that. We do not require our local producers to be certified. That is quite a financial burden for a small grower. But they do get vetted by me, and I do understand the organic standards thoroughly. And generally, they are exceeding the organic standards. So we do buy local produce in addition to what we have brought in by vendors. We do sell local grass-fed, grass-finished beef. We're very proud of that. That's a third-generation farmer. We buy chicken from Amish just east of us by an hour, and pork, forest-raised pork. So we have a few things that they're not going to find, customers are not going to find easily in other locations, especially in a small town like this.
Yeah, great. And do you also carry a lot of local or unique products aside from produce? Like, do you have a lot of center store, like fun items? Do you work with other local producers in that sense?
We have a few therapeutic items. We've got a line of balms that are crafted locally. We don't have a ton of local other than that, I'm sorry to say. We would like to have more. My concern with local is quite often they don't have the scale to make products competitively priced. And as I said, it's a price sensitive town. It is. It's a frugal town. So they'll pay a little bit more for something local, but not a lot more.
we are considering getting back in, and we've done things like this in the past. We are going to start looking for somebody to do baking for us, though, like gluten-free cookies, maybe some sourdough bread, that sort of thing, because we don't have the capacity in-house, and we don't really have a good source right now for gluten-free cookies that are singles that will sell. So that's something in particular we're looking for.
Yeah, yeah. And I just have to say, I love how customer focused you are and how well you know your customer base. I feel like you've said so many things during this whole conversation of like, oh, no, my customers wouldn't like that, or this is what they care about. And I think that is such an overlooked part of running your business like you do, just knowing your persona, right? And knowing your demographic. It's very impressive, and you've definitely honed it in. So lovely. And then so products as well. Do you feel like there's this balance of, you know, staying true to the high product standards that you have? That is what makes your store, right? Do you find you have to balance that with evolving needs and trends that your customers are wanting, or things that are really popular that you feel like you should be carrying? Like, has there ever been this weird balance or decisions that you've had to make about what you carry based on what is trendy? Have you faced that?
You know, there are some things we're just not gonna compromise on. We don't do GMO products knowingly, let's put it that way. And we do investigate companies to make sure that they are non-GMO certified as much as is possible. We just looked at a company that I was pretty excited about that used soy in one of their products, but it wasn't non-GMO soy, which means chances are it's GMO. And we made the decision not to carry that product because those are the standards that we put forth, and we're not willing to compromise on that. If people want that, they can go to Walmart. You know, they can go someplace else. But we really do try to listen to what our customers say they want from us and respond. To me, ultimately, that's what you have to do, is listen. You have to listen to your customers. You have to listen to your staff. You have to keep your ears open and be patient and be willing to put in new product that is doing well on spins, but not at the sacrifice of compromising our values. I'm so blessed to have just an incredibly talented grocery buyer, Susie Waters. She is very good at finding product. She's very good at the art of buying, but also the science of buying. And she balances that so very well.
Yeah, right. It's a lot of times it is like your buyer, right? Like they have the power and you have to trust their instincts and knowledge.
Absolutely.
And I also think just as a whole, what you're describing is it's a relationship between you and your customers. And when you're in a relationship, you have to have trust, but you have to be willing to compromise. But you also have your own boundaries and standards of, I want to provide for you what you're requesting, but I'm not going to sacrifice our standards and our boundaries. So it is like a give and take. And I think that's a really important like muscle that people have to flex and figure out, because I'm sure when you're starting off, it's difficult because you just want to please everyone.
Uh-huh.
But I think that's a really respectable quality to have as a leader.
And I think in the long run, when you set boundaries and keep them, I think that establishes trust. I think that lets people know that you have limits that you are not going to cross. And in a world where it seems like nobody trusts anybody anymore, except we trust infra. But it's true. We really do. It's been such a great experience. It has elevated my business to the degree I never would have dreamed.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you're so right. Well, and that's what keeps people coming back, right? They know I don't have to worry about you being sneaky and throwing things on the shelf that have weird ingredients or are, you know, have GMOs, whatever it may be. That is ultimately what builds that trust. So you're so right about that. I have a very broad question for you that might be very easy or very difficult. But first thing I would love to know is, what is one of or the most valuable lesson that you have learned in your time running your business?
Honestly, I think for me, patience, just on a personal level, to be patient. I've always been pretty high energy, pretty much let's get in there and do it. And I think sometimes you have to be patient with customers, patient with yourself, patient with processes. Because we're small, I'm a working manager, if you will. I do a lot of the supplement buying. I do the dishes sometimes. I clean the bathroom. So sometimes I don't get to get what I want, but I'm patient enough to know that if I keep working towards a goal, that that goal can be achieved in most cases with the talent and the perseverance that we have.
Yeah, I love that. And do you think that, I'm just curious to know how that has changed over time. And have you gotten out of this what you anticipated to get out of it when you first signed on and started and were like, I'm doing this? Where you are today, does that kind of align with where you thought you would be? Or has there been any surprises along this journey?
The whole journey was a surprise. In all truth, I never wanted to run a retail business. I never had any interest in, I'd never worked in retail. My degree is in science. I had started an organic truck garden, was selling wholesale and was selling to this business. And they said, what are you going to do this winter? And I said, I don't have a clue. And
wow.
A few months later, the manager walked up and handed me the books and said, you're in charge now. And it's like, wait a minute, this is not what I signed on for. And look what happened. I ended up managing the store and then buying the store. So this has been a journey where fate, or I've been led here truly, because it's been wonderful.
Yeah.
It's been wonderful. And as far as getting what, you know, expectations, it's been a good life. I work very hard. My staff works very hard. And I've had the opportunity to have some wonderful employees that come back and see me 20 years later and help out when I go on vacation. And it's been a buzz. It has.
Wow. Okay. That is an incredible backstory. And I feel like it does, the course of this podcast, I've had very interesting conversations with, you know, owners who have the story of like, I was born on the floor, like my parents bought this place. And so this is just in my blood. And, you know, that's great. And that provides a whole different perspective that is, you know, valuable in its own right. But then there's another group of kind of misfits coming from all different sectors and industries who are like, I did not mean to do this, but now I'm here and it's awesome. And also, I think that allows you to bring so many different perspectives into what you do, right? Like, because your background isn't just this, it allows you to see things in a different light and kind of with fresh eyes. So I can only imagine, you know, you've been able to bring so many different little pockets of things to what you're doing, which I think is really special. And another hard, broad question, and especially will be interesting because you're not inherently, you didn't start off in the natural foods industry. What is something that you love or that excites you about the natural foods industry today?
Infra. not to just like plug y'all endlessly, but truly, camaraderie. The camaraderie of this group has just been amazing. We can get any information that we need, any advice that we need. It is, like I said, it's been a game changer for us. And yeah, the camaraderie.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the great thing about Infra is it's not, Infra is you, right? Like Infra is the stores. When you get the right people together, magic happens. So yeah, it's really special. And we're so thankful to have you be a part of it, of course. As we wrap up this episode of The Buyer's Desk, we want to thank the contributors, partners, and staff who made it possible.
And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Until next time.
Thank you for your support. Angela Bozo, co-host and administrator.
Pat Sheridan, co-host.
Kim Rowe, producer and sponsorship manager. Jim Olson, Spin's segment manager.
Austin Hinkle, audio engineer.
Madeline Ware, social media and audience growth manager.
Haley Craig, producer and audio engineer.
Sarah Fulton-Kerbling, content research and sponsorship support.
Bella Sislow, brand outreach and digital assets manager.
Raina Kittredge, data insights and digital assets manager.
Elliot Canfield, audio engineer and data insights analyst.